This is Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas. Forget what you think you know about church.
May nothing but the truth leave your lips as you deliver this gospel to the people.
Please rise as you are able.
Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Then Peter came and said to him, Lord, if another member of the church sins against me, how often should I forgive? As many as seven times? Jesus said to him, not seven times, but I tell you, 77 times. For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. When he began the reckoning, one who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him, and as he could not pay, his lord ordered him to be sold, together with his wife and children and all his possessions, and payment to be made. So the slave fell on his knees before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay you everything. And out of pity for him, the lord of that the slave released him and forgave him the debt. But that same slave, as he went out, came upon one of the fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and seizing him by the throat, he said, pay me what you owe. And then his fellow slave fell down and pleaded with him, have patience with me, and I will pay you. But he refused. Then he went and threw him into prison until he would pay the debt. When his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they are greatly distressed, and they went and reported to their lord all that had taken place. Then his lord summoned him and said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have had mercy on your fellow slave as I had mercy on you? And anger, his lord handed him over to be tortured until he would pay his entire debt. So my heavenly Father will also do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother and sister from your heart. The word of the Lord. Okay. The true gospel of the Lord. Praise to the Lord, word of light.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. So good afternoon to you. I apologize. I'm losing my voice. Working on trying to keep it. And William, thank you for doing the gospel today. I appreciate that. You did a great job. Forgiveness is something we know we should do, but seldom do fully. There was once a man who was bitten by a dog, which was later discovered to be rabid. The man was rushed to the hospital where tests revealed that he had, in fact, contracted rabies. At the time, medical science had no cure for this disease, and so his doctor faced the difficult task of informing him that his condition was incurable and terminal. Sir, we will do all we can to make you comfortable, but I cannot give you false hope. There's nothing we can really do. My best advice is that you put your affairs in order as soon as possible. The dying man sank back on his bed in shock, but finally rallied enough strength to ask for a pen and some paper. He then set to work with great energy. An hour later, when the doctor returned, the man was still writing vigorously. The doctor commented, "I'm glad to see that you're working on your will." "This ain't no will, Doc," replied the dying man. "This is a list of the people I'm going to bite before I die." Many of us live and die. Many of us live and die with that kind of list written in our minds, if not on paper. We all know that we are supposed to forgive people and leave the past in the past, but let's face it, we seldom do that. We are all like elephants, but in the wrong way. We have minds that never forgive or forget, instead of skin that is thick and strong. In our society, the motto that often dominates our lives is, "Revenge is sweet." It's like the bumper sticker that reads, "Never go to bed angry, stay up and plot your revenge." Now come on, we've all done this, haven't we? I remember being in summer camp as a teenager and scheming and plotting some pranks to get revenge on the other guys, or as we called them, the enemy. It's totally amazing how creative you can be when you're motivated by revenge. But I don't think I'm telling you anything new when I tell you that this isn't how God wants us to act. But God says that if we don't forgive others, He won't forgive us. Listen to some of these verses, Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 through 15. "For if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And that's pretty heavy stuff, isn't it? If we forgive others, God will forgive us. If we don't, He won't. Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, part of the Lord's Prayer. "Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors." Our society's version goes more like, "Father, forgive me, not how I forgive others." Luke chapter 6, verse 37, "Do not judge, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven." Jesus was once asked a question by Peter. He said, "How often should I forgive a person who has wronged me?" And from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21, Jesus had just been talking to his disciples about managing disputes or misunderstandings. In verse 15, he says that if one of your brothers does something against you, then go and talk to them about it. Try to resolve the problem yourselves first. And we discussed this in last Sunday, and I'm not going to re-preach on this passage today, but how often do we go and talk to a third party first before we go and address the problem with the person who is causing us trouble? If we follow the Bible's guideline, most problems would go no further than this initial discussion. Jesus says, only if you can't work it out between the two of you, do you go and get someone else involved. And then if you still can't resolve it, get the church leadership involved. That is all great advice, but it gets Peter thinking. How often should I forgive my brother when he does something wrong to me? So now from Matthew chapter 18, verse 21. Then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Now, this sounds pretty arbitrary, doesn't it? But the Pharisees believed that God requires you to forgive a person three times. You see, they knew that God had said in Amos that He wouldn't turn away His wrath because people had sinned four times. So the Pharisees wrongly interpreted this to mean that God will maybe consider forgiving us three times, but definitely not four. Peter knew that Jesus expected His disciples to exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees. So He suggested a number of seven, double that of the Pharisees. But Jesus shocks him. Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Now, in the Jewish mindset, the number 77 represented a number so big that it was too big to count. Jesus says, don't limit your forgiveness. And he tells this parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. So he fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. Now let's just pause here for a second. This servant owed 10,000 talents. Now, a talent was a measure of weight. It was actually the largest weight they had. It was equivalent to about 30 kilograms. Value depended on the material weight. We are not to know what the material was, but we are told how much there was of it. 10,000 talents, 300 tons. 10,000 was the biggest number that the Greeks used. And so here we have the biggest number of biggest weights, a huge amount. Just imagine it was 300 tons of silver. In our economy today, it would be worth $172 million. If it was gold, it would be worth $9.2 billion. Those numbers are just incomprehensible to most of us. And that is Jesus' point. Jesus is not really focusing here on the amount, but in the infinite debt that this man was in. There's no way that this guy could ever repay his debt, $172 million. Notice what the king was going to do. Sell him as a slave. Well, you only got 30 pieces of silver for a slave, far cry from 300 tons of silver that was owed. There was no way that this man could ever work off his debt in 1,000 lifetimes of service. And so it was a bit ludicrous that the man begs for more time from the king. The debt would never be repaid. And the king knows this. Taking pity on his servant, the king forgives him the whole 10,000 talents. What a gift. Jesus, in telling this parable, is drawing parallels to our lives. We are like this servant in debt. We owe a debt to God that we can never repay. We have all sinned and offended God. Nothing we can do can satisfy him. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 6 says that our righteous acts are like filthy rags in God's sight. We owe such a debt, and all we can offer to pay him back is worthless. It would be like trying to pay off your mortgage with Monopoly money. The bank isn't going to accept it as payment because they don't recognize it as having any value to them. In a similar way, we can't pay off the debt we owe God with good deeds because they have no value to him. We owed a debt we could not pay, and God paid a debt he did not owe when he gave his son's life to pay for our sins. He volunteered to cancel our debt, and it cost him a great deal to do so. We have been forgiven an immeasurable amount, just like the servant was. And you would think that we would all be bouncing around the room with joy and gratitude, wouldn't you? This servant in the story certainly should have been. He was forgiven $171 million. He who is forgiven much to love much. He who has been forgiven little should love little, right? Wrong. Let's keep reading from verse 28. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. This grateful servant went out and found another servant who owed him money. Not 10,000 talents, but just 100 denarii. Now, a denarii was what a common worker was paid for a day's work. So it was about 100 days worth of pay. Maybe the equivalent of $5,000 or $10,000. Still a lot of money, but in contrast to $171 million, it was an achievable amount. I'm sure many of you here today have debts that are greater than $5,000. It's interesting that the second servant who owed the 100 denarii had exactly the same response and used exactly the same words as the first servant. He fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will repay you back. He should have reminded the first servant of his requests and the grace he was shown, but instead, the pleading of the second servant is met with harshness and he's thrown into prison until he can pay back the debt. Some have commented that the punishment of jail would have meant that this second servant would have been further hindered from paying back the debt. If he was sold as a slave, he could have worked to pay off the debt. But sitting in jail, in prison, he was powerless to even earn money to pay off the debt. The debt of the second servant was turned into an impossible debt, and he would rot in jail. Now, Jesus told this parable to identify us with the first servant in being forgiven, then he also means for us to identify him in his ingratitude and unforgiveness. Though we owed so much and were forgiven so much, we go out and refuse to forgive others for such petty things as making a backhanded comment about us, failing to help us out in our time of need, taking credit where credit was not due. The list could go on. Each of us are guilty of holding grudges against people and refusing to forgive for absolutely insignificant things, not even as large as the $5,000 debt the servant in the parable owed. In doing so, we make it impossible for those people who've offended us to ever make it right with us. We force them into a lifetime of guilt and alienation. Jesus' parable ends with a correction and a command. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. "You wicked servant," he said. "I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you?" In anger, his master turned him over to jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. "This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart." The master wasn't impressed by the attitude of his servant who owed so much, yet refused to be grateful and in turn forgive others for relatively small offenses. God likewise isn't impressed by us who owe so much, yet refuse to be grateful and in turn refuse to forgive others for relatively small offenses. The master was so annoyed that he reversed his decision to cancel the debt and had the unforgiving servant thrown in jail and tortured. Remember that there was no physical way for the servant to pay back the huge debt, whether he was in jail or not. So, essentially, his punishment was to be tortured for the remainder of his life. Jesus states clearly that God will likewise treat us in exactly the same way if we refuse to forgive our brothers and our sisters. God's nature demands that we forgive others. Does that mean if we refuse to forgive, we will lose our salvation? From Matthew chapter 6, verse 14 and 15, "For if you forgive, if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." And is our salvation dependent on our willingness to forgive, and therefore based on works? No. You can't take this teaching out of context, but it has got to be seen as part of the big picture. Paul says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28, that we are justified by faith apart from works of the law. That is right. But justification doesn't just happen. Because justification or salvation can occur, one must have faith. Faith leads to salvation. But there's another step in the process of salvation. Jesus said to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verse 3, that before anyone can enter God's kingdom, they must be born again. They must be regenerated and be given a new nature before they are saved. No one can have faith unless they already have been drawn to God by God's Holy Spirit. It is God's Spirit that gives them the faith to declare their trust in God, and upon doing this, they are justified and receive a new nature. That nature is the nature of Jesus Christ. And part of that nature, it displays God's forgiveness. When we act in faith, we are saved and receive Jesus' nature. But the process of salvation has only just begun. Now, when we receive Jesus' nature, it doesn't instantaneously transform us into models of Jesus, does it? I mean, we still lose our temper. We are still jealous of others. We still struggle to forgive. But over time, the nature of Jesus comes to dominate our lives. We mature and become Christ-like Christians. We are transformed into the likeness of Jesus. The evidence that we have been saved is seen in our nature, in our attitudes, and our actions. Being able to forgive others is a proof that we are saved. Because the forgiveness we display is God's forgiveness working itself out through our nature. That gave me goosebumps. If you claim to be a Christian, yet cannot forgive others, one of two things could be wrong. Your faith isn't real. You haven't received God's nature, and that is why you can't forgive. Because you haven't received God's nature, you aren't saved. And the consequences of this is that one day, you will stand before God and won't receive His forgiveness because your faith is false. In this case, the fact that you can't forgive is evidence of your lostness. There is a second option. If you claim to be a Christian, yet can't forgive others, then maybe you need to mature in your faith. If we are truly saved, yet cannot forgive, then it is obvious that we are babies and need to grow up spiritually. We may have received God's nature, but our spiritual maturity is such that we are not able to naturally display God's forgiveness in our lives. We need to allow God to mature us so that His nature becomes our nature. Some in this situation may actually be consciously or unconsciously hindering their maturity. They may be refusing to mature by refusing to allow God's Spirit to change them and make them grow up. Jesus expects us to forgive others because His nature demands that we forgive. If we are saved, we have His nature. Our gratitude should demand we forgive others. Forgiveness is a natural outworking of Christ's nature in us if we are Christian. But there are some other things about forgiveness that I quickly want to mention as we close. Some things that forgiveness is and isn't. Forgiveness is a response of gratitude to God. We've had a ginormous debt forgiven for us. That should alone be enough to transform our lives. Sadly, we don't often dwell on the seriousness of our sin and the significance of it to God. We think grace is cheap because we can be forgiven by shooting up a quick sorry prayer. But if we really recognize the seriousness of sin, then we will recognize how huge the debt was that God has forgiven. Our gratitude would transform us, and we would willingly forgive those around us who offend us in petty ways. Forgiveness is a choice. We can choose to forgive, or we can choose not to. It's totally up to you. Forgiveness is not about waiting till another person has recognized the seriousness of their actions. If that was the case, God would never forgive us, because we just can't comprehend how serious our sins were. Forgiveness is not about waiting till another person comes and apologizes to us and says sorry. God's forgiveness is once and for all. We don't need to come to God every day and confess every failing to Him. Don't misunderstand me. It is good to confess things specifically to God, because it makes us think about them and recognize the seriousness of them and their negative consequences. But Jesus' death purchased forgiveness for all our sins, whether they be known or unknown. I'm so glad that God doesn't wait for us to say sorry for them individually. Otherwise, I have so many things unforgiven. Forgiveness is a choice that we initiate. The offended party forgives, and it doesn't need the offending party to play any part in it. Forgiveness is all about release. Release for you and the anger and the annoyance you feel. It is letting go of the right to get revenge. That means we must stop keeping that mental list of all the things that people have done to us. It is not looking for opportunities to remind them how they have hurt us. It is letting go of the right to get revenge. There's also a release and forgiveness for the other person. Forgiveness means that you no longer expect that other person to have to try to make it up to you. You realize that you release the person from any responsibility to you. Forgiveness is not the same as forgetting. We have memories, and because we choose to forgive, we don't necessarily forget everything that is happening. God does. In Isaiah chapter 43, verse 25, he says, Even I am He who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. But we aren't God. We can't forgive and forget. But we can dethrone the memory and refuse to let it control our lives. We can detoxify the memory and refuse to let it poison our thoughts. Forgiveness is not the same as reconciliation. We can forgive without becoming best friends again. A child who is abused by their father may never again have a close relationship with their father again. They may have to erect boundaries to ensure they are not harmed again. However, they can forgive their father for what they have done. As we close, I want you to hear me when I say that forgiveness is not an easy thing to do. It defies everything that our human nature tells us to do, and that is why it is hard. But if we are Christians, then we have a new nature transplanted in us that is characterized by a forgiving spirit. God wants us to surrender ourselves to Him and allow His nature to take the place of our human nature. This will take time, and it will require us to stand up against our human inclinations. But God has promised us that He will work. He will complete the work that He has begun in us. Let's just close it this way. If you can't forgive, and you're after that revenge, first I want to tell you what the definition of revenge is. Revenge is like taking a cyanide pill and hoping that the other person dies. You're not hurting them. Holding on to that BS is hurting you.
This sucks.
It was kind of like taking a cyanide pill because I was mad at my parents for the stuff they did, whenever I was younger. And I was in Oklahoma. I remember I got a phone call from my mom, and I wanted to work, but at the same time, she called me. She said, "Your dad, he's dying," which luckily he made it through. But she was like, "You need to come down here and see him," And I chose not to go, kind of out of not necessarily resentment, but oh, fuck it, that's not important because, I wasn't important, blah, blah, blah,
Who did that hurt?
It would have hurt if, he would have passed, because I think that's really what helped me forgive, too, so,
Hold it for the round table. We can finish your story a little more. Thank you. Let's move on. Anybody have any questions about that before we move on? Just while we're fresh in our minds before we move on. Okay, got to understand what we're talking about. You got notes? Good. You'll be ready for the round table. It's a tough subject. And we all have trouble doing it, believe me. I mean, we all want to say, how dare you? I'll never forgive you. Ever. Ever. How could you do this to me? How could you do this to me? I've got some really good examples of grudges that I've had to work on myself. We'll talk about those later.
It is time for everybody's favorite part of the service. That's right, the announcements.
I'm not going to expound on this too much. I know a lot of these, but there are a couple I need to go over. I'm losing my voice. I'm trying to say a little bit of it, so let's get on and get through it here. You can't make a difference. All of us here are volunteers at this church. None of us take a salary. And the only way this church stays open is by our ties here at the church and for people out in the world donating to us. And we could use your help. If you believe in the message we're trying to get out there of an all-inclusive God, a loving God, a God who forgives, a God who is approachable, please consider making a donation to Dallas News Life Church. Simply go to DallasRealC.com and click on donate. All of your donations are tax deductible and will go into our fund to help us to grow this church. When I talk about money, I go, "Pastor, I love the church. Bishop, I love the church. Archbishop, I love the church. But I don't have any money. I'm broke. I can't help the church out." Well, that's not true. You can help the church out. All you do what all of us do. You volunteer. Your time is your money. Simply go to DallasRealC.com, click on the button for volunteer. There you'll find a list of all of the jobs we have available for volunteers. If you don't see something you like there, please come in anyway. I promise you I have something for you to do. I promise you I have some work for you to do. There's not enough hours in the day for us to get everything done. There's always something that goes undone. Please consider donating your time to Dallas Universal Life Church. Okay. Compliments, concerns, suggestions, complaints. You got one of those? You need one of these? Email address, feedback@dallasvlc.com, or simply go to dallasvlc.com and click on Contact Us. You know, we have two podcasts, in case you don't even know. We have two podcasts. Very quickly, go check out the podcast, folks. And if you go watch the podcast, let us know you were there. There's at the end of all the podcasts, or on the screen there, there's a place you can make comments. It usually says, what did you think of this episode, or something like that. Tell me what you thought of the episode. I'd love to hear from you folks out there. Okay? First one is Your Path to Vision Mark. That's our gospel and our sermon and our announcements and our roundtable during the week on Sundays. That's been going on for almost 7 years now, 6 years, and sixth season. You go to that, you go to your favorite search engine, type in Your Path to Vision Mark, or you can go to any of the providers that are on the back of your program, and they will have our services, our podcasts that are available for you for free. Also, our second podcast is Life Lessons with Bishop Mark. It's a little different. This is exactly what it says. It's Life Lessons. It's kind of the TikTok of podcasts, I call it, because it's only about 2 to 5 minutes long each episode. This is only in its first season, and I'm liking the way it's going. Still working on it, and I hope you all enjoy it too. Please, also, if you go watch it, please leave a message for me. Tell me what you think. After that, you just go to your favorite browser, or search engine, and type in Life Lessons with Bishop Mark, or simply go to one of the wonderful apps that we have in the back of our program here, which is most any app out there that does podcasts will have us. Okay? All right. Pray at DallasVLC.com. That's the email address, folks. If you have a request for prayer, that's where you're going to send it. Or you can simply go to DallasVLC.com and click on prayer request. Pretty simple. Okay. All right. How many days is it? I'm like, yes? 48 days. It's a little over a month. That's it. Don, you said you got a donation today. That's very good. I know you're working on some donations. Yeah, you're talking to people at work. But you, Gavin. Talking to people. You're going to get some donations. Promise? You going to join us?
Walking?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not a real long walk. I think it's at 3 miles. It's 3 miles. It's not that big of a deal. But it's not that big of a deal, but it's a big deal. You know what I mean? I accidentally hit the button. I'm sorry. If you want to join us at the Walking Dallas Center, I actually hit the button and knocked it off here. But if you want to join us, you go to DallasVLC.com and click on the button for Walk and Alzheimer's, okay? Also, if you want to donate to our team or to one of our team members, and sponsor them walking and help us raise money for the Walk in Alzheimer's. You can also go to DallasVLC.com and click the Walk in Alzheimer's page to our page there on their site. And you can do all that. Credit cards, everything is very secure. A good place to do that. November the 4th, folks. November the 4th. We were leaving here probably about 4:30 in the morning. 4:30 in the morning. Okay. Because of that, we all stay the night of the 3rd. Okay, so that'll be Friday night, the 3rd. We'll have an annual Bishop's sleepover. Here at the church. Doors will close at 10 o'clock. So you need to be here by 10 o'clock at the latest. If you don't, you're not getting in. Okay? And in that case, you need to meet us down at the City Hall at 4:30 in the morning. Okay? So be in by 10 on the 3rd. The 4th, I'm telling you all this because I want to get you in this game, just in your head so y'all don't have any questions. The 4th, we'll be here about 4:30. We'll do the walk, starts at 9. Okay? About an hour and a half, 2 hours walking is at the most, right? Come back, we'll help break down a little bit because we're volunteers there, right? And then we head home. Then we come back for church on Sunday. So it's a busy weekend for all of us. But you know what? Every year I enjoy it. I think y'all do too. It's really, I look forward to it. I hate that we have to go and do this for this, but I'm glad we are able to. Okay. There it is again. So yeah, walk in Alzheimer's, donate or join us. Join us for the walk. Come on. It's DallasVLC.com. Click on Walk in Alzheimer's if you want. We'll be right back. How long was that video? No. How long was that video? 20 seconds. Why is it 20 seconds long? Right. That's how long it takes for you to wash your hands with soap and water to kill the viruses that cause coronavirus, cause a common cold, cause flu. If you got virus, at least 20 seconds of washing your hands with soap and water, drying them, then turning off the faucet with the towel so you don't touch the dirty faucet, then using hand sanitizer if you can. The reason this is back up here, guys, coronavirus has surged again. And it is actually at the numbers are almost the same as they were at the highest time of the epidemic, the pandemic. They're shooting up. There's a new variant that is especially deadly. The CDC, the Center for Disease Control here in the United States, has asked that everybody over the age of 6 get a new booster shot. Everybody over the age of 6 get a new booster shot. I encourage you to go get your shots. This one's not playing around. I mean, it's still around. COVID's going to be around forever. Just like the flu is still around. It's going to be there. It's something that's not going away. And the sad thing about it is it mutates very quickly. And it's hard to keep up with it. People die because of that. Don't be stupid. Don't hurt other people by your actions of not doing anything. Your inactions. Go get the damn vaccine. It's a shot in the arm. Yeah, it hurts a little bit. It's a little sore. But you're not killing people. You walk around, breathe that crap on people, you're killing them.
Marlena and Danielle went to a party last Saturday. They woke up the next morning, both of them were positive.
Yeah. I've got this sore throat. I'm losing my voice. I was concerned, especially with all the news about the coronavirus. I've already had it once. So I took a test last night. Thank God, it came out completely negative. So we'll continue to monitor that here. If you guys look, the tests are out there. The stores and everything, they still give you a free test. You can go in and get a test and make sure you don't have it. If you're feeling bad, you're feeling down, you're feeling grungy, go get a test and make sure, because that's the only way you're going to protect other people is by knowing that you have it and by isolating yourself, okay? I suggest for all of you that you wear your masks again here in church. It's a suggestion. I'm not requiring it. Y'all are adults. But if this continues to go up and up and up again, we're going to have to get hardcore again, and I really don't want another shutdown. That killed me. So, prayers for this one, guys. We need a lot of prayers about getting this thing over with. Okay? All right. It's back. The song's back.
That's right.
I do too. Sorry, Madonna, but that song's got to go.
Happy birthday,
William. What do you think of this? Dan.
Hello. My name is Lindsay Love. Happy birthday.
Good. So, okay. Just to let y'all remind y'all, so we get Dan out of the way, make his cameo appearance. On this Friday, this 22nd of September, is this young man's 25th birthday. He turns a quarter of a century old. He's 25. And be sure to wish him a happy birthday. The church offices will be...
My baby was like him.
supposed to. His eyebrows.
I love Jack's beard. That would feel good.
So, you know, the church offices will be closed on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of this week. Will and I are going to go out of town to celebrate his birthday. And, the offices will be closed, but Donna will just answer the phones. That's it. Okay? There's going to be no way going out here, nothing of that. The church will be closed. Okay? Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We'll be back Saturday night. We'll have church on Sunday. Okay? Make sure you always have a happy birthday, though. 25 is a big one. You know, that's when your insurance rates go down. You know? your frontal lobe stops developing. You're kind of, you're there. That's what you're going to be. That's it. That's what I'm talking about.
Every day and once a week. I'm kidding.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to happen.
I would be once a week every day.
You're hanging around with Earl too much. You sound just like him. You sound just like him.
No, I don't. You know, when I next meet, I was like, bye, y'all. I didn't see nobody in a year.
Happens that way sometimes. All right. I promise to have some pictures of Will for his birthday. We'll get something on the day of his birthday. We're not doing a huge thing. It's just a quiet deal with the two of us. And we won't need any streamers or cakes or all that kind of stuff. But,
you'll come back
home with those. You know, here's the deal, though. See, in a month and a half, I turned half a century old. So he's turning a quarter century old. I turned half a century old, and I think I'm going to be the loser of that battle.
Yeah, we'll
be still walking back. I already have one in storage waiting for me. All right, let's rest for a dismissal.
Knock knocking on heaven's door. You're listening to Your Path with Bishop Mark from Dallas Universal Life Church in Dallas, Texas.
So, who do you like? Who do you not like? We're going to keep, we're going to get rid of. I am be forced by God not to speak too much. I'm losing my voice. So, guess what? Your wishes have come true. Let's go.
Oh.
Doesn't help if I'm losing my voice too.
I'm sure you'll find something to say again.
I don't know. I feel like every week the sermon is, that's what it's called, right?
That's correct.
For me, it'd be pretty on point. I don't know how, but it seems like 85% of the time I go to any church or, you know, Sunday school class or whatever they talk about that day, it seems like I can relate to some part of my week. So
because you tend to find yourself in whatever they're speaking on, and so it tends to manifest in your own life. That's what the whole thing is about. Church is all about that.
There's a certain psychology to church and to worship services and to things like that. We try to make it where it fits into a lot of people's lives. What we're talking about can fit into that, their groove, and they can see that we're all really the same in a lot of ways. Yeah. You know, we may have our differences, but we have the same problems.
Yeah, and like you got to go down to like the people that, you know, wrote the Bible. They went through these same exact things that we're going through. Details might be different and times might be different, but like humans go through the same shit. It's a repetitive cycle. It's that infinity, that time, way time goes on. It's like, odds are somebody's going, has gone through or is going through exactly what you've been through and what you're going through. And until you find out those people and find out how they accomplished and got through it, you're never going to be able to figure it out. It's hard to figure it out on your own like that. And so you got to look at history with stuff like that, because then you don't want to repeat it. Right?
And if we forget our past,
right,
we're doomed to repeat that history.
Yeah, sure. But you gotta take it and learn from it, and
absolutely
grow and be, you know, go beyond what they did before you.
You took notes today. Talk to me. Mm-hmm.
I see the notes.
Where's my talking?
You can do it, Gavin. You can do it.
You wrote down the gospel, and then.
Hey, Jordan, let me make sure you ask. Let me ask one good question, Gavin.
No, let me
do something here. All right. Do you like it printed out like that better?
Yeah,
we can do that every week.
It made it really easy to read it.
We can do all the readings that we have every week for the lectern. You put it up here and just have it. It's just that we have to do is we have to do it.
Yeah.
What's our topic today? Jesus?
Forgiveness.
Forgiveness. Same thing.
The parable of the master who forgave his slave, the 10,000, whatever they were, and the slave went out and condemned one of his fellow slaves who owed him money and put him in jail. The master came back and said, "How'd you do that? You're wicked." And he put him in jail for the rest of his life.
And tortured.
He tortured him.
Forever.
So it's about forgiveness.
Mm-hmm. Well, or just not doing that.
We don't do that. You're right.
See, I mean, like,
they don't even have to come to service. He already knows. We don't do that.
I don't know.
Y'all know that too.
Right. True.
I'm losing my voice, so I'm not speaking much. Y'all gotta do this.
And I'm grouchy as hell because I'm
what else is
not you.
I know, right?
Now. All right, you've been talking nicely. Let's take it over for me. Let's go.
So let's talk about not the gospel or anything. Let's talk about that first reading, because I want to talk about how the fact that straight up got they parted the sea, right?
Because
God helped him with that, right?
Well, God did it.
He parted the sea for them, right? And then completely said, you know what? I picked this side over here because I feel like, you know, they I don't know, what do they do? They worship them better, or they worship him instead?
They didn't worship.
They were doing the right thing.
They did not worship God.
Okay.
The Egyptians, the Romans did not worship God.
Okay, but what about the, because we're talking about the Egyptians and the Israelites, right?
Why did he pick the Israelites over the Egyptians?
Yeah. And it just seems like he just drowned and killed people that were his, his still his creation, and wow. Still just flatantly just killed him just because he picked a side, it felt like. It felt weird, because just because Moses was on one side and he wasn't on the other.
Ever since the beginning,
it just seems really scary.
The Israelites, they were God's chosen people. And if you start there, okay, and can accept that, wouldn't God do anything in the world to protect his chosen people?
But didn't he choose all of us to be here?
No.
He didn't choose all of us to be here?
We're all his offspring, but we're not all his chosen people.
I know, but he chose to make us.
True.
We are, and he chose to just wipe them out. You know,
it's a great question.
All of it.
It just like feels like who could get just wiped out because
I'm speaking from biblical. Whatever. I mean, this is the answer biblically. God's chosen people.
Yeah.
Why them over others? Well, a lot of who wrote the Old Testament?
A bunch of Jews.
Well,
and remember also, parables. Remember that.
I guess, yeah.
I mean, could it happen? It maybe happened. But the whole point is not that it happened or not. The whole point is, what is the lesson we're trying to learn there?
Well, it just seemed like just a big hoorah story, like the good guys won. And again, it's
a lot of hoorah stories.
This was more of a story about faith, long term.
Okay.
And then it paying off.
Okay, but did the Egyptians have a different faith?
They did not worship God.
They didn't worship anything.
Ra, sun god.
Well, see that.
That's correct.
But see, that's still a higher being that they worship.
They worship this,
but it's not the God.
It's not the one. Not the one that would part.
It's not the I am. It's not the Jehovah.
Right. Wow. There's a lot of, you know, in my opinion, what I preach here.
Right.
I try and let everybody have their own faith here and make their decisions. But for me, I do believe that all paths lead to God. I believe that. And I believe that just because we call it by a different name doesn't mean it's a different God.
Yeah.
Honestly, I do. And I think you still have to remember that the Holy Bible, especially the Old Testament, was written and first of all, it was told in stories. It was handed down by generation by word of mouth first.
Right.
Okay. And then put into writing by scribes who were under the watchful eye of the bishops and the lords and who decided what they wanted and what they didn't want in there, right?
Yeah.
So I think you take a lot of it with a grain of salt. I come back
which
to...
Which was a big thing then. Salt?
Yes,
was,
thank you, Baylor.
But did he part the sea? Do you think he actually did that?
It doesn't matter.
I mean, I guess it doesn't, but it just is more or less just like, what was the lesson in him parting the sea? What was the purpose for him parting the sea?
That is the lesson of...
Because it seems like he just...
God was there long term.
Yeah.
Even though they strayed and made idols and did whatever they wanted to do, but eventually they...
I mean, it looks like he just tricked them into going into the water and then just sunk them all.
He did.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
He was not going to end. His brother, by adoption, was not going to stop until he was dead.
Yeah, the Egyptians weren't the type of army to just give up.
Yeah,
it was considered weak. So the only way...
Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, like, when they brought in the chariots, what did the horses do?
They all died.
They all got killed. What did the horses... The horses didn't choose that. The horses didn't... And they're still creations of God, right?
No, but...
They're still...
You're really going deep on this. And that's fine. Know this. In the Old Testament as well, God has given man dominion over the animals of the earth.
Correct.
Yeah, but see, like, I mean... It's just the fact that, like, he just then said, let's just, let's go out of the power of everything and just let me just my power just to kill people that, you know, and that happens in day-to-day life anyways. Like, just things, just random stuff just happens and people just die because they're innocent and then they didn't do anything wrong. And it's just, it sucks that it has to be the case.
It's not necessarily that they didn't do anything wrong. I believe that, you know, and this sounds really messed up, but, like, I believe a person, you know, Jesus or whatever, put a person in this world, have them grow up 15, 16 years, then speak to one person that Jesus knew they would be able to connect on some sort of level, and then that 16-year-old or 15-year-old help the other guy, and the next thing you know, it's messed up to think about it like that.
It's like he served a purpose, and that purpose was to help somebody else, but... It's that life is still a life regardless, and every
aspect of work. Understand again, that life doesn't end there. That's the whole point we're trying to make. It's just because our life ends here.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean our life ends.
But what if you had problems with, you know, and you didn't ask for forgiveness before your demise, and it just happened, and there's nothing way you can do about it, and you don't get to make up for it in your own life. You just go straight to judgment, and you're like, I didn't get to do anything that I was supposed to do, and you just took me away and took my chances away.
Are we talking about in general, or specifically the ones that were killed that day at the party?
I'm just talking about in general, like people. Some people just don't get chances.
But
don't get a chance to even sit there and get that forgiveness.
I mean,
but how would you?
You ask smart questions, and they're not easy ones.
We all ask those questions.
It's hard to fathom that somebody would create somebody just to take that somebody away and then say this is what your judgment is based on what you've done so far.
But let me ask you this.
God has a reason, and sometimes we cannot understand the reason because we're unable to understand his reasonings.
Right.
He is above. He's up here for a reason. That's why we put him up here, right? That's why he's here over us, because he is over us.
Yeah.
In so many different ways.
He's
getting his way.
The world is just.
Why does God let planes fly into the World Trade Center? Right. Stuff like that's the question. You're getting way into, free will. Free, but free will.
I just feel like not everybody gets the same opportunities.
They don't. Life's not fair.
But maybe that's the plan.
Yeah, and
it's not for us to understand totally. Because really, if you try to wrap your head around. You would go nuts.
Because God can only give you what you can handle, and if you
can't, he won't give you any more than you can handle.
If you can handle life after what happened when you die, that's pretty much him saying that you couldn't handle what was going to happen afterwards. I mean, pretty much, right?
I don't know what we're supposed to take from this life to the next. I know we're supposed to be learning something here to take to the next life. I know that.
It's all speculation.
I believe that. But we're here for a learning experience. We're here to gather knowledge and then move on to our next part of our journey here. Yeah. You want to know what that is and where that's going and what it's like? No.
Yeah. I just hope there's another part of it.
And here we go again. We all have doubts. We're human. Of course we have doubts about that. Right. Because none of us have physically been... Yeah. To that other side and come back to talk about it.
Nobody knows the secret.
So it's very usual. It's almost human nature to doubt.
They say people have died.
They do. They say that.
But I mean,
DMT has all do that. I think.
I can sit here and tell you I can ollie all day long. And
I feel like there's a difference between subconscious and then also passing on.
Right. Here's the deal. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
If you die. Today, tonight is your last night. You die. You die. Does it make any difference right now in your life whether there's an afterlife or not? Seriously, just think about it.
Yeah. It's just kind of like when it ends.
Because there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
Right.
Except live your life in a righteous way, which you should do anyway.
And that's what sucks for some people that just don't get a chance to. Because like if I were to have passed 2 years ago without even getting to know my faith and everything like that, nature, I don't think I would be happy with it.
Hey!
How it ended that way. And I don't feel like I could have lived the life because I didn't even know.
Don't you think that God takes into account those things?
Right.
Right? Hey, look, he's not going to take every person and treat them equal. He doesn't. Right. He doesn't treat people equal because they're all different.
Right.
So I believe that he looks at your record. He goes, okay, well, yeah, you did this great. You did, okay, well, let's work on this. Okay, moving on. Sam.
I believe it says somewhere, and I may be wrong, but I believe it says somewhere in the Bible that it's like, okay, well, he's not going to punish a newborn baby that wasn't taught yet, you know. Now it'd be different if you was taught, you know, Christian ways, you know, grew up or any sort of, you know, and then you said, nope, I'm out, just I'm out of here. Then that's when I feel like God's like, okay, so you chose to ignore me after you learned,
right?
Like that's,
he takes a lot of everything into account. Yeah, I get that. I understand that. How do you get it?
And if you look at, again,
I would assume nothing when it comes to God.
Oh, yeah, you can't.
Yeah, because he'll bring up the one thing that you don't even remember.
He had his son on the altar ready to stab him.
Right.
For God.
Huh? For God. God said, give me a sacrifice. Give me your son.
You know that story?
Yeah.
We said here.
Yeah. Well, it's the one where he
he's
up
coming down. Stop him.
And then
he's ready to go down, and the angel stops him.
Yeah, and then the goat.
Abraham, wait!
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So a lot of questions about why God would do that. Does he really test us? Does he do this? Does he want that? Does he, what is it he's trying to find out about us, you know? Mm-hmm. Who knows?
You know, is Abraham going to be worthy of leading?
As we want, as we think.
And that's what that was. I mean, is he going to have the faith to stay right, stay the path?
Yeah, exactly.
Do as he says. God has given us free will to choose. That's why certain things happen to certain people.
Yeah.
And that's done by design.
The puppy dogs are so upset.
God didn't want a bunch of slaves.
True.
What is our purpose? What if our purpose is to live for God and worship Him, He wants that done freely. He doesn't want anyone can make a slave worship them and beat them into submission.
Be robots. You know,
and that's not that's not love. That's yeah. Waterboarding or whatever.
Well, you know, he could have made us all robots and said, "You're all going to worship me."
Right.
But what satisfaction does he get in that?
Yeah.
You know,
it's he wants it to be a willing thing.
And it's terrible that some countries actually do that for people that live there, and they force them to, like, you know, mm-hmm. to do something that, you know, they don't even know anything about. Like not having freedom of religion, like not being able to, you know,
like
to decide that for like the, like what he's saying, like how does your, you know, what you freely want to do. If you want to worship him, you need to freely want to worship him and not be forced at a young age to not even know what you're getting into, but being forced to do it anyway. It shouldn't be something like that.
I'm telling you, our nature, we want to be free. Our country, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, everything's based on our wanting us to be free. And that is designed, that is built into us.
So we want to be free, but we have to be led.
Yeah, and we keep adding on rules on top of rules that go all the way back to the Ten Commandments. And those rules, it just seems like if rules were made, then, you know, who do we decide, like, you know, because those Ten Commandments, who are they made by?
God.
Bunch
right,
of white people.
Right. So
God.
So us making rules as
by a white guy who went up behind a burning bush.
Right. Right. But so us humans making up rules, and or are we playing God when we make rules up, or are we doing some sort of balance?
I'm telling you,
place of judgment, or, like, you know, even if that's the case,
you've been thinking a lot, haven't you?
Who are we to be, you know, a higher being? Rather than, you know, a lower being, what makes a higher being?
Somebody has to. Somebody has to help govern here. Somebody has to take the reins. So you have to have a leader. Okay, otherwise it'd be chaos.
Well, I mean, how is it decided? As far as, you know,
that's God's. Did God decide that?
He puts leadership into some people, and he doesn't put it into.
Right.
There was a time when people, very highly educated people out there, were monks and priests.
Bishops.
Period. Bishops. Mm-hmm. That was it. They're the ones, in order to control the population, and money.
Oh, yes.
You listen to them. You had to listen to them. You couldn't pray to God on your own. You can't pray to God on your own.
The Catholicism does have that problem.
You know, that's why you now have Catholics and then Protestants. Is all that
they're getting into some, because some people just don't believe that that's the
but
okay thing.
It was, you know, the rules were made by the people in control, to control the people that were living at the time.
And to, you
know, is that an unfair?
No, that's absolutely correct.
Assumption. It just think about what's at stake.
Yeah.
If women get an education in the Middle East,
right?
If they get an education, they become smart, they become independent.
So,
and
all the things they hate about America.
In the Middle East, the whole religion over there, cover your face, was to protect property. Women are still property over there. They are not people.
Right. And then they try to mask it with, like, whole, like, you know, trying to, you know, keeping it's, the women's beauty
yeah,
hidden so that way you can find the inner soul. But it's really just about, you know.
It is to protect one man's property so she doesn't end up with another man.
Right, until they're married, and then once they're married, you don't get a divorce.
No, you don't.
So
just, you don't get a divorce in that way, or you die.
It's a different world. It's a different world in the Middle East. First-hand experience, I can tell you,
I couldn't even imagine.
It's eerie, almost.
You're asking really smart, deep questions, and they are worthy of answers. And I wish I could give them exact and reference them, but I'm telling you what.
There's a lot of unanswered questions that will always be
unanswered. Always be unanswered.
Yep.
And you know, it's just the way it is. I just like to ask them just because.
But you know what? Here's what I'm gonna say to you.
Yeah.
You asked us. We told you what we could. Go ask God.
Yeah.
He might tell you, enlighten you with something.
Listen.
Go ask him and shut up and listen.
I try. It's hard for me to shut up.
I know, it's hard to turn that off in your head, isn't it?
I was talking.
It's so important to be able to breathe, control your breathing,
Concentrate
on a subject, something in your room, like one certain object, one thought, and just let everything just kind of go and just open yourself up to anything that's coming at you, and God will be there.
Because it's so hard to just, my brain always goes out like I'm.
I know. It's practice. You've got to practice it. Mm-hmm. Devin? Have you been practicing it?
Yep.
I know your brain's always going 90 to nothing.
Yeah, I just thought I'd
nothing to 90.
Once.
Nothing to nothing.
Just wait till you get to the turn.
I'm going nothing to nothing.
Boy, howdy.
What?
Just wait till we get to the
turn. We were talking about that already. We already had that.
Good God.
The whole Trinity. Water.
Yeah.
H2O. Ice. Liquid. Steam.
Gasoline.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Oh, yeah, we're not going to hold hands this time, guys. Please. No holding hands. We're back under restriction here. Coronavirus has spiked.
That's right.
So what are we going to hold?
We're just going to circle up.
Hold on, hands.
Oh, you circle up? Hold your hands, okay? You want to join us with final prayer?
LJ.
You want to join us with final prayer?
Yeah.
All
right, cool.
Let's go. All right. Father Heaven, we thank you for this gift of being able to come and worship you freely as we do here every Sunday. So many people in this world are unable to do what we have just done and worship you and show our love for you and our gratitude. Lord, we ask that you help us to open our hearts to forgiveness. Open our hearts so not only can we forgive those who have wronged us, but that we can release ourselves from that burden. Again, forgiveness is for you more than anything else. We ask all this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And that's a big one.
Thank you.